do if they're, you know. It may, in a given circumstance, be a very important factor that the judge is taking into consideration. Other circumstances, it might not mean anything.
Getting $10,000 is just bad whether you get it by one means or the other.
For instance, now, like the case where we talked about this termite and shingle. In that case, you had to have some kind of a token. And fortunately, this termite and shingle provided it. Well, the poor woman was being defrauded. She was just as much defrauded with or without it.
No.
And the guy was just as guilty with it.
And the guy was just as guilty. And it would seem, as I think it did to most people in that situation, that, well, it's a hell of a note where they're obviously taking advantage of this person here, that you've got to bring in some kind of a thing,
physical
evidence, in order to convict this scoundrel. When it really isn't necessary, it's not essential to the crime or to the evil intent with which the man went about what he did.
I think the thing that troubles a lot of people in this area, though, is that the police every day are just besieged with complaints, ill-founded, many of them, and this helps eliminate just a ton of complaints right at the police sergeant's desk. And but the police want to have this. I think the police want this, what we just passed, Section 5. So they can deal with these problems, and some of them need to be dealt with, no question about it.
Would it be possible to put in Section 5, and this is without any thought, just to put particular ones, a provision that a token shall be necessary to prove A or C or E, the ones that where you think it might be essentially possible?
Sure, possible.
I think we're regressing if we do that.
Yeah,
I think we're getting we're getting right back into the same old
I think we are.
Problem of preventing prosecution in cases that should be prosecuted just because you don't have a false token.
Well, that would seem to me like this thing just hangs up there.
Yeah.
Could we? I just pointed out a minute ago that the statute or one of these that the prosecutor would never use.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we strike Section 6 from the preliminary draft.
All right. It's moved that we strike Section 6 from draft 3. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Passed. All right. Now, Section 8, Section 7, receiving stolen property. Now, this was Section 8 in draft 2. It's 223.6 of the Model Penal Code. And it's 3250 of Michigan. Now, maybe before Mr. Spalding came in, we were going over the definitions. And we came to number 6 on page 2 of this draft 3. And I recited that I had been the one that suggested that receiving stolen property be inserted there. And now I wasn't sure but what it shouldn't be back in the receiving stolen property section like it is in the Model Penal Code.
I think the subcommittee at the last meeting voted to...
The subcommittee did vote to put it up in the definitional section. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
This is a general definition. It only applies to this one.
It only applies to this one. And
the other definition
might be in here.
I don't have anything to do with the other. You do mention it, you see, in Section 2, where there's one of the techniques of theft by receiving stolen property. So it is used in more than one, the term itself is used in more than one place.
It does make for a neater definition of the crime in Section 7 if we put the definition of receiving up with the other definitions, I think. It makes it more concise.
Well, I also find extortion.
Well, we say what extortion is, though. I mean, we define it by.
We don't really define extortion.
Telling how it can be committed.
Yeah.
3250. It does make for a neater definition of the crime in Section 7 if we have the definition of receiving a confront.
Would it be possible to change that into a receiving property obtained by theft and eliminate the definition?
Now, wait a minute. How's that again?
Say, receiving property obtained by theft. And then eliminate the definition. And I have a motive in that, as I said to Don at noon. You can't help but have great respect for the people who prepared the uniform code, and that they have struggled and worked and fought over many of these things. But the definition of stolen property, which is taken from the code, says acquires possession, control, or title. Well, there aren't any three words in the legal parlance that more defy definition than those three. And so that, can I assume that these people from, in working on the model penal code, have grasped over this same thing, fully aware of it, that they've concluded that probably these are the best words they can find. But it seems to me like with all the other definitions, and if you would want to include in that property that was taken by extortion or embezzlement or by deception, because a receiver of those is just as bad as anything else. In fact, we have a case pending now on whether or not theft or receiving property obtained by embezzlement is obtaining stolen property. And it would seem as though that a person in any one of these should be just as culpable if he knowingly receives this property as he is for stolen property.
Now, how is it?
Well, he would be under this, as I reason.
No, you're
property, the stuff received by extortion is stolen.
Right.
So therefore
right.
Receiving it would be received.
Well, you
change
it stolen to theft in a sense. See,
I don't
think any other place back here you use stealing or stolen property.
We tried to get rid of it anyway.
Right.
Where are you suggesting that we make the change, Judge Sloan?
In section 7
yeah.
would be receiving property obtained by theft.
Now,
property that has been the subject of theft.
Well, read it in context so that I can.
Okay. Receiving, under section 7, receiving strike stolen.
All right.
Receiving property that has been the subject of theft.
Well, the only problem with that is that you're limiting then, you are eliminating really the definition of receiving. You're just saying he receives it, but you're not saying that it covers something like lending on the security that a fence or a pawnbroker might do.
He may never touch the property itself.
True.
And yeah.
What would you think of this? What would you think of in keeping the definition of in sex? And then saying receiving stolen property means acquiring possession, control, or title, or lending on the security of property
which
is the subject of over which control has been obtained by theft.
Or lending on the security of property what?
Over which control of has been obtained by theft.
Where are you getting there?
No.
Over which control.
In other words, to avoid the
person
commits theft if he receives. Is that what you're saying, Don?
I don't know.
Well, what I'm trying to do is define receiving and define stolen property in the same definition.
Yeah. Could you do it that way by saying a person is guilty of theft if he acquires possession, control, or title, or lends on the security of property that has been. The object of theft or acquired by theft.
What about this business about receives, retains, conceals, or disposes of property of another? It's important.
It's the proximate cause of error, all right.
Yeah. I didn't say it too well. Lending on the security of property over which control has been obtained by theft. How would that sound?
Mr. Elder was concerned that you dropped the receives, retains, conceals, or disposes.
Yes.
No, because you've still got that. I don't mean to take that out of Section 7.
No.
No.
This just expanding the definition.
This just expands receiving the definition of receiving stolen property.
Would you say
drop the word stolen then.
Would you say receiving stolen property means acquiring possession, or would you say receiving stolen property includes but is not limited to?
No.
Now, I never had any problems like this last week. Means.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when I was fussing with this section earlier last week, I had another definition in there, which I eventually took out. I had a definition of receiving, and then which is what appears here, and then I had a definition of stolen property. But we talked about it and decided that it probably wasn't necessary. But my thinking is to get at Justice Sloan's suggestion that perhaps we could insert that in there. But I hate to see us take out.
I don't think my suggestion will work.
I hate to see us take out this control or title or lending, because I think that gets right at the type of people that cause the most harm in receiving stolen property, and that's the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Now, do we agree that we're going to leave the definition in Section 1? Is that agreed?
As amended.
It isn't amended.
Well,
amended.
It hasn't been amended yet, but I mean the mechanics of placing the definition, we agree that we'll leave it in Section 1. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now that we've crossed that major hurdle, we have the question of whether we're going to amend the definition of receiving stolen property, and seems to be the feeling that we should amend it somehow, apparently. Is that right?
Oh.
Well, by striking the changing the period after property to a comma, and adding over which control has been gained by theft.
That's not
obtained, I think, was the word. Which control has been obtained.
Well, control isn't sufficient, because this just takes more than the thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, theft, wouldn't theft...
Right,
more than control.
And you've used the word obtained, you've defined...
Yes, to retain, conceal.
Everything of it now is consistent with that definition.
You're talking about the definition now, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me insert just one little thing. The Model Penal Code says, or lending on the security of property. And Michigan says, and taking a security interest in the property. You compared the two and felt that the Model Penal Code definition was better.
Well, I thought it was better because I thought it got to the question of the pawnbroker situation a little better.
Okay. And your suggestion is that this reads, receiving stolen property means acquiring possession, control, or title, or lending on the secure of property over which control has been obtained by theft.
Well, that was my suggestion, but Kathleen pointed out that we have defined the word obtained already, and perhaps obtained might not be the...
Or lending on the security of property which has been the subject of theft.
Once stolen, since recovered, and so forth.
Is it possible to use the word theft property?
Theft property?
Theft is not a verb. Probably that before.
Stolen property.
Thief.
Theft.
Thief, that's what I said.
Property is theft.
Well, there's some way you can get a word of that away from the expression stolen, receiving stolen property, because what I assume you're trying to do is to include the receiving of any property that's been taken by any of the means defined as theft.
Well, why don't we just add a
you got it in quotes over here.
Why don't we make section 6 a definition of stolen property and 7 in section and new section 7 in the definitions of receiving stolen property?
You need to define stolen.
Well, that's a damage to our structure today. Well,
why do
defining defining the crime and the definitions or in the section. Separate.
What's the objection to stolen? Using the word stolen.
Well, because we're trying to change everything to theft.
it isn't a serious legal block or anything like that, is there?
Either.
No.
Draftsmanship.
Well, I guess it's maybe
a matter of taste more than
anything. No, I don't think so. No, I'm not sure that as now proposed, that you would necessarily include all these crimes of receiving property that has been mislaid under subsection was mislaid, or by extortion, or by deception.
Whether those would have been stolen.
Whether those might have been stolen, this is what I'm...
Even though they're called theft?
Well, you say theft by receiving stolen property.
I'm giving divine stolen.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why don't we do it this way?
The property you're after is property that has been the subject of theft.
Yeah.
Well, then, if you have having good reason to know that the property has been the object...
Where do we help ourselves by picking up the presumption of knowledge from Model Code? Which would tend to limit it pretty much to offenses.
I was going to raise that point.
The requisite knowledge or belief is presumed in the case of a dealer who, it doesn't limit it to the dealers, but it does spell out what it is, a presumption in the case of a dealer who is found in possession or control of property stolen from two or more persons on separate occasions or receiving stolen property in another transaction within the year preceding the transaction charge. Or three, bringing a dealer in the property of the sort received acquires it for consideration which he knows is far below its reasonable value. And dealer means a person in the business of buying or selling goods.
Well, to expand on what Kathleen said, what would you think of this? In subsex of section 1, take out stolen property and just make this definition the definition of receiving. And leave the word stolen property out. And then over here in section 7, on the fourth line where it says, or having good reason to know that the property is stolen, omit stolen and insert
subject of
theft.
And you could drop the phrase out earlier than that too, couldn't you, by saying a person commits theft if he receives, retains, conceals, or disposes of property.
Yes.
Right. A person commits theft if he receives, retains, conceals.
By receiving.
Well, no, I was...
No, that's right.
Commits theft.
Right.
If he receives, retains, conceals, or disposes of property of another, knowing or having good reason to know that the property is the subject of theft.
Has been the subject of theft.
Well,
is the subject of a theft.
Is the subject of a theft.
Is recovered in.
We just strike the word stolen property, as you suggest, and we go over to 7, and every place where it refers to stolen property, talk about property that is the subject of theft, right?
Yeah, and it isn't too cumbersome because it only happens once.
Yeah. So, well, there are several times we refer to stolen property.
I'd strike the one in the second line completely, that by receiving stolen property, I'd knock it out completely.
And would you say, and would you caption this theft by receiving?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be known properly as receiving stolen property for years.
Yeah.
Don't use those.
All right. Theft by receiving. And knowing or having good reason to know that the property is, that the property is the subject of theft.
Right.
The subject of, you think A should be in there?
Subject of A there.
No, I don't think it should.
I don't think it should.
Subject of theft, unless a property is received, retained, concealed, or disposed of with the intent of restoring it to the owner. Now, you pick.
How could be disposed of?
There was one in here.
How's that?
I've always wondered how it could be, the property is disposed of with the intent of restoring it to the owner. Doesn't that kind of have a, if he disposed of it, how could he even
give it to the owner? Well, he could give it to his mother to take back to his sister.
Yeah, you know, he could deliver it to some third party, maybe have an intent that it go back to the owner.
I gave it to Roosevelt Jenkins with the intent that he give it back to the owner.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's possible.
And I hope that he went the other way.
Yeah.
All right. So do we need that? Last preposition of phrase, unless the property, that's a subject of defense.
Well, this is actually aimed at saving the insurance company type thing, isn't it, as much as anything else, where they pay sometimes to acquire property to return it to the owner to solve the insurance, settle the insurance claim.
Well, you've got it up there, and one of the things that makes him guilty, and if you have a fine line between one thing or the other on the prosecution, no matter what he did to it, if he was trying to get it back to the owner, he shouldn't be guilty. And I think you'd have to have all those things in it on the defense end of it that you have on the prosecution end of it.
Yeah. I don't think it really constitutes a problem because it comes down to a jury question anyway.
You're going to strike the unless then?
No, we're going to leave it.
Keep it.
Right. Now,
let me ask just a question. I hate to be interfering in this, but.
No, you're not.
You're during an indictment, would you have to make that as an exception that property was not held?
That's. Indictment has to be framed in the language of the statute, doesn't
right.
it? Then and there, on the 10th day of January 1970, did unlawfully and feloniously receive, retain, conceal, and dispose of certain property to wit a car.
Without
the intent of returning it to the owner.
Knowing or having good reason to know that the property was the subject of theft.
What does it say about that in the old one?
Anything was not received, retained, concealed, or disposed of with the intent of returning to the owner.
In the old section, in the existing
section. I'm sorry. Here it is. It's 045, and it says, any person who buys, receives, or conceals, or attempts to conceal any stolen money or property, knowing or having good reason to believe that it was stolen, shall be punished upon conviction, etc., etc.
Yeah, it
doesn't have the negative.
There are certain, I can't think offhand, maybe you can, John, there are certain types of crimes wherein the indictment you have to negative.
Yes, there are.
I can't think offhand what they are, but there are some. And then it's up to the prosecution to prove this, that it wasn't.
To allege it and prove it.
Allege it and prove it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this, again, is an item of defense. Either should be stated as a defense.
Yeah, that would be in the defense, if you would say it, it shall be a defense to the charge of theft by receiving, to show that the property was taken with the intention of receiving.
Oh, 045, closing. I would think it would simplify it if we feel that we need this, that we put it under the defense. But,
about first the farm broker, home free.
No, all he has to do is receive it. All he has to do is give me possession.
No,
you got it. And he can't come in, and you don't have to prove that Elijah was holding this. I knew that this belonged to Joe Blow, and Joe would come in one of these days and want it. I'd have it for him.
Sure, we're plebbing action. Do you know any way to get property, stolen property back from any other pawnbroker without paying for the ticket?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, Gary.
I was unable to in Lincoln, Nebraska. That was my experience.
Well, if it's, right now, if it's stolen property, he's out.
The only problem you got is you got to have somebody go down and twist his arm for you, and that's what he said, fine, just pay the price of the ticket. He said,
becomes a pretty valuable radio, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a radio and a typewriter, and the typewriter had two.
After it bought them twice.
All that keeps money in circulation.
Well,
it's good.
My thought that the Lincoln Police Department should have done something about it too, but they showed no inclination. After all, I was a foreigner.
You want the money out of town.
Don, do you think this would be relatively easy to move over into the defense section?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we could.
Sure.
All right. Well, let's go back then to Section 6. Or sub 6 of section 1, let's firm that up. Are we going to just say receiving means?
Yes.
Alright.
Well, acquiring possession, control, or title, or lending on the security of property, period.
Actually, your verb is receive rather than receiving. You know, usually we're receiving as you rewrite in 7.
Well, theft by receiving,
theft by receiving is a crime.
Yeah, so we're going to call
it theft by receiving. Well, I thought you still retained that. My suggestion was that you say a person commits theft if he receives, and not
the title of the crime.
Well, that's not
theft by receiving.
You're not enacting the legal line of the statute, I hope.
Well, that's right.
So, would you write your definition? Receives means acquires possession, control, or title, or lends on the security of the property, or something like that. So, would that work, though?
This is technical question, and if you think that it
you're talking about the words that are in quotes there in 6.
Right.
Well, in order to be consistent with our title, call it theft by receiving. Why couldn't you say in your first line, have a person commits theft by receiving, and then just delete stolen property?
Okay.
All right. So we say
receiving, and don't say what he received.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Receive. Well, we say what receiving means over in 6, sub 6.
Receiving means acquiring possession.
Sounds a little filthy, but it makes sense, all right.
Then in 6, don't you have to be sure that when you refer to property in that instance, that you indicate that it is property again,
of
which
another.
Has been the subject of theft?
Not necessarily. Oh, I don't think so, because you say
these definitions are not crime.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, but
okay.
Except against
you raised a point. Should this read receiving means acquiring possession, control, or title, or lending on the security of the property of another?
Well, it's all right if you've got it. Don't.
Is that what?
Yeah, I think it's all right.
Probably defined. So
you're just defining the word receiving, and in section 6, page 5, you say it's the property of another. I didn't want anybody to throw in the loose guy by an eager district attorney because he had his own television in his car.
Well, no way. In sub 5, we don't say of another.
Yeah, we do. Section 7.
Well, section 7.
Well, yeah, I've renamed it, pardon me, it's section 7 on your draft, page 5, it does say of another.
Oh, if he receives, oh, yeah, retains, right, concealed, and disposes of property of another.
Yeah.
All right. So here we say theft by receiving, that's the caption. A person commits theft
by receiving.
By receiving, if he receives, retains, conceals, or disposes of property of another, knowing or having good reason to know that the property is the subject of theft. Period, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Agreed?
Mm-hmm. So moved.
So moved. Okay.
And we change the title, huh?
Yes, theft by receiving.
And then it's scratching us in the threatening offenses.
And then we would say, in any prosecution for theft by receiving, it is an affirmative defense that the defendant received, retained, concealed, or disposed of the property with the intent of restoring it to the owner.
You want to use the word affirmative?
Well,
an affirmative defense is like contributory negligence, isn't it?
But the defendant has the burden of proof. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just a plain defense. What's the difference?
It's a plain defense, it's a general denial.
The question is whether the state has to disprove whatever the defendant has to prove.
Well, the defendant should have to raise it and prove it. Don't you agree?
Well, at least to raise it. I don't know.
Yeah, at least to raise it, yeah.
He'd have to raise it, but I don't know whether the state would have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it wasn't there. And that might be an important distinction.
Well, now, isn't an affirmative defense in a criminal case one that requires the defendant to raise the issue, but he's not required to maintain the burden of proof?
I'm not sure whether the word affirmative or not as related to criminal law. I'm thinking more of civil law.
Right. Say, in our present criminal law procedure, the defendant files nothing but a general denial. He just says not guilty.
Yeah. Right. That's the reason I brought up this, because the defendant doesn't file a thing. All he says is not guilty.
Well, we have in criminal law now, like the defense of insanity, the defendant
has to give
notice of it, and then the defendant has to prove that he was by way of his defense, by a preponderance of the evidence, that he was insane at the time. This has been the subject of a few decisions, and a lot of people are uncertain about that. Well,
this actually, you see, would be a defense subject to the jury believing the person, whether you put it in here or not. If I'm charged with receiving stolen property, and I could prove, well, when this property was handed to me, I recognized it as being a piece of jewelry belonging to my cousin. My cousin is traveling in Europe. I'm just holding it until my cousin gets back. If the jury believed you, they would never find you guilty of receiving stolen property.
But you would still have done the things that are actually said in this section, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true.
So it shouldn't be that way, should it?
You need to put it in a statute.
Right.
Is there any need of putting it in the statute?
Yes.
Well, I don't like to approve a statute that says something is criminal that we don't mean for it to be criminal just because we think that no district attorney is ever going to prosecute and no jury's ever going to convict.
You've got this advantage. If you've got something in there in the statute, whether it's in the substantive part of the definition of the crime or whether you put it over in defenses, at least there's something there to indicate to your prosecutors and, well, anyone else, that the intent is certainly not to make it criminal to receive stolen property unless you,
yeah,
you know... If
I only meant to raise a question as to whether it was necessary and advisable to use that one word affirmative,
yeah,
thinking that you might get into an argument on what that means. I think if you put it in the defenses, just say it shall be a defense.
I think you got a good point.
Leaving out the word affirmative because it might be subject to a hell of a lot of argument.
Question of burden.
Whether it was raised properly and all that.
Well,
none of the other defenses say anything about being affirmative defense.
The defendant might endeavor to raise this, and some trial court might say, well, the statute says affirmative defense, and you didn't plead it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't give notice as required with respect to insanity. That's an affirmative.
That's a real good point. As a matter of fact, I didn't think of that problem, and I did use the word affirmative also in our extortion defense, and probably ought to come out of there too.
Yeah, I think it should. And is it agreed then that this deleted language from Section 7 should be included in within sub 4 of Section 10 by saying that it is a defense and not an affirmative defense?
Yeah.
All right.
And then it's agreed that Section 7 as amended is acceptable. No need to take any. You can say that we moved and adopted it. Everybody was in favor.
Yes, Tony, next.
He doesn't have. With Tony and Mahoney, they have a pipe or cigar in their mouth, and nobody can see them chuckling when they do it. Now, Section 8 is the same as Section 10 in Draft 2.
Yes, we didn't make it.
And we made no changes. We adopted it in its entirety.
Why not just say is colon strike as follows? Is it follows? You're sure not going to go to the next section.
I have the issue. Yes.
Well, that's all right. I can see why you have to rewrite all the rest of the sentence.
Yeah, because they don't.
They don't follow.
They don't start properly without the as follows.
Yeah.
It was a lazy way of doing it.
All right. There were no changes in Section 8. Section 9 was Section 11 in Draft 2. We adopted it at the last meeting in its entirety.
Where? Excuse me.
No, that's all I was going to say.
I may have had my question answered in Section 7. But in the model code, it includes a presumption of knowledge section on theft by receiving.
Oh, yes.
Which would seem to me would be a valuable tool for police in the hands of professional fences, regular fences, people who do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would not, it seems to me, put the casual criminal in the professional category. Says the requisite knowledge or belief is presumed in the case of a dealer who's had property stolen from two or more persons or once more in the previous year or something else, and sets up really defines a professional offense almost.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I learned about that.
Then you're being taken care of by having good reason to know that the property is subject to theft. That's a matter of proof. Doing it every other day.
Well, this makes a matter of law.
Can you
bring his previous record in?
Can you haul all that into court?
Yeah, if he says he didn't have any reason to believe the darn thing was stolen, and I think the state can then show that he'd been taking stuff from this same guy that
Yeah, but other persons.
That's rebuttal if he takes a stand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, well, you get halfway through the trial, and you have a 2-hour trial, and this fellow jumps up there and says this, and then you've got, then you can't marshal your evidence with enough time to rebut that.
I don't know. I was a little leery of that, these presumptions of guilt and that sort of thing. A presumption that would tend to show guilt because of some of the past cases where some of the
statutes... On this question of intent,
Well, if we put this in, let's just assume a hypothetical criminal case receiving, and this presumption of knowledge is in the statute. Would a district attorney or a judge, trial judge, think that because this is in, that in his case in chief, the DA could not only show that the defendant had possession of this stolen property, but that 6 months ago he was arrested and, or 6 months ago he had in his possession similar property, which also was stolen.
Well, it was proved by the crimes.
Right, State versus Mock. Now, certainly you can prove other crimes. Well, this is in a situation, and then the defendant didn't take the stand. This, you're impeaching him in your case in chief, and I'm not sure the Supreme Court would hold that evidence in.
I have some doubts as to its constitutionality.
I don't know. I can see some problems arising from having this presumption, but I thought long and hard about this when I read this, and I'm glad you brought it up, Bob, because I wanted the committee to throw it around.
What's the presumption that's on the books now that the courts have just...
This presumption of evil intent can be assumed from unlawful act.
Yeah, the commission of an unlawful act.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was that type of thing that made me a little leery of...
And actually, as I understand it at least, in the law of evidence generally, as relates to both civil and criminal things, the idea is pretty much to get away from this idea of presumptions. That presumptions can be a double-edged tool.
Make each individual case stand on its own without any help from it.
Well, and there was one other reason that I didn't put that in here, and that is that our general articles have not yet been drafted. And it would seem to me that that's more, if we're going to talk about presumptions in the criminal law at all, that would be the place where it would belong, in our overall articles and general principles. It would apply to our whole code rather than in one section.
It gives this kind of thing gives the police some help when they assuming their good faith in dealing with a known fence, but it also gives an awful club when some innocent junk dealer or so on that innocently buys a bunch of wire.
What you're saying, I guess, is that theft by receiving isn't so important that we should make a special category for it, other than defining the crime itself separately and creating a separate penalty for it. We shouldn't go in and change the rules of evidence to make it fit.
There'd be just about as much sense in this obtaining property by deceit. In fact, that is a much more difficult person to apprehend, to convict, and so on. There'd be more sense in putting a presumption of some kind in that.
Yeah, not 3 times in the last 48 hours.
Right. The confidence man is a much harder man to catch and prove the crime against him and identify him and what have you.
Yeah, well,
hapless pawnbroker.
There's already a presumption against the pawnbroker.
Right.
Without ever having to register for it, your place of business.
Right.
What's your sign on your door?
Right.
Satisfied.
Well, Michigan has an interesting section in their receiving, and they say If a person is found in possession or control of stolen property on two or more separate occasions within a year prior to arrest on the instant charge of receiving stolen property, or, and this is on page 249 of the Michigan thing, or if a person regularly buys, sells, uses, or handles in the course of business property of the sort received, and acquire the property without making a reasonable inquiry whether the person selling or delivering the property to him had a legal right to do so, this shall be prima facie evidence that he has the requisite knowledge or belief. This is, I think, saying the same thing the Model Penal Code says.
Yeah.
Of
course, these are areas which highly organized gangs of large scale thieving and truck hijacking, things of this sort, are far more common than they are out in these wide open spaces.
But the thing that brings this to mind is the hassle we had in the last session over the copper wire thieves, and we finally passed a special statute designed to cut down on the copper wire thieves, and that's the sort of a thing that this is the kind of language that the proponents of this copper wire legislation are trying to get at. The railroads, the power companies, the phone companies, and all the people from whom this wire was being stolen, you know. They went down to Long Beach, Washington, and took 5 miles wire off the Coast Guard station one day, off the line. They had alternating lines, current. 1 week they'd have on A, 1 week they'd have on B, 1 week they had on A. They went down there, took 5 miles of the B line. But I don't know. I don't know whether the good to be achieved is going to be outweighed by the dangers involved.
Well, as I say, I tend to agree with the general principle that this crime isn't so heinous that we ought to set up a special set of ground rules for it.
Okay.
It's definitely different than either. But under the present law, it's probably the easiest to prove. This is the one that the district attorney uses the most now. I don't know whether what we're doing with this in that regard.
You mean the receiving?
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
I don't think we're hurting them any.
I don't think we're hurting them. I've always thought it's been the I always thought that receiving was the hardest crime to prosecute and the easiest crime to defend.
As a matter of fact, under this draft, if this ultimately becomes law, receiving could end up to be a stiffer crime and penalized more severely than it is under our present law, for this reason that when we get to the penalty provisions, and we your fences are the ones who are most likely to deal in large volumes of property in single transactions, property that the amount of it would put it into a more severe type of theft and punishable accordingly than it is now.
We raise the price with that. We raise the payment price with the purchase price.
The presumption might be a good thing to, in some way, inject in the punishment part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible. In other words, make it a more severe theft if he has been convicted of a similar crime, or if he is in this type of business.
Right. If from some kind of a showing, I don't know how you do it, but I suppose it'd be possible. To put, you know, the professional fence, more of a wrap. I'll get out of your hair.
Hey, you're
not riding back.
No, I've got a meeting here.
Oh,
good luck,
John. You've been a great
thank you very much.
Thanks. I appreciate your letting me be here.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. Can we agree that Section 8 is okay? Is this right? And also Section 9, which was passed at the last subcommittee meeting. And Section 10, we passed We're going to amend Section 10 by including the sub 4 for defense to receiving.
Yeah.
I just have one question. In the Model Penal Code draft, on page 6 sub B of Section 10, the last word you use does. Model Penal Code in Michigan, I think, used did. Making a difference, I don't think, I don't know. He reasonably believes that he's entitled to the property involved or has a right to acquire or dispose of it as he does. They say acquire or dispose of it as he did.
Well, I thought that this was more grammatically correct because the tenses would be the same.
Okay.
My reason. Does rather than did. He believes and he does.
But no, I'm sorry. Michigan says does. Model Penal Code says did. Okay. Should we pass Section 10 as amended?
I don't know.
Any all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, aye. I mean, aye. I'm for it. Pass. Now, gentlemen, preliminary draft 3 as amended has been adopted. And I don't feel, Don, that we need to take any more time at our next subcommittee meeting going over what we've already done. We've been over this 3 times. We've passed it. And that's...
Well, we'll make the amendments.
You'll
and
make
circulate
the amendments.
New drafts to okay. All of you.
All right. Now, we're down to motor vehicles.
And there's some history and background on our present law on your books preceding the proposed draft.
Did you at home?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Is
that a copy?
And then I have a comment. And I think, Mr. Chairman, if you'll allow me to just run through my comments here briefly.
All right. Now, how are we going to set this up? I suppose it's going to have to be decided by all of us preliminarily, and then the full committee. But what we've just gone through, theft, that's going to be one chapter, and is this taking and using going to be a part of that?
Well, I think it could be, or we could put it separately. There are about as many different approaches to that as there are revisions floating around. I think that I think it properly would be best in an other offenses type section.
You mean like, checks, credit card?
That it sounds in theft, but it's not really theft because you don't have the intent to permanently deprive. But it's got a larceny-type flavor to it, and I think that the code revisions that have placed it under other offenses are the... For example, New York puts it under other offenses related to theft.
Now...
unauthorized use of a vehicle.
The Model Penal Code says theft and related offenses, and it's like Chapter 2... 23 is theft and related offenses, and this is in it. All right. It's a related offense. It could be in the same.
I think
offense.
Joyriding is darn close to theft. It is actually.
Well, right. I want to bring up one thing. At our last subcommittee meeting, we decided to delete theft of services and directed the staff to delete theft of services
and bring it up later when we got into fraudulent things, right?
Yes.
Now, when you get into fraudulent practices, you're going to try to work that in someplace.
Yes, because if we don't have such a section somewhere in the statute, we're going to have a gaping hole there that, with respect to the things that aren't covered by our definition of property.
What do you mean by theft of services? Not paying your lawyer's bill?
Well,
that's pretty important, I guess. Is there,
then it is in the civil matter.
Yeah, telephone bills, that sort of thing. Theft of service. So we considered that last week and decided that sure going to put a lot of people in better prison if we kept that concept. So we decided to give it up for a while.
Well,
and
not,
get to the fraud.
I'm not giving it up.
What do we do with what are we going to do with defrauding the innkeeper? Is that going to be covered under our larceny, under our theft, as we've done,
I would think so.
You're stealing the blankets and towels from the hotel?
No,
I'm
going to the.
You don't pay your hotel bill.
Going to the Pilot Butte Inn and not paying.
Well, the larceny of services draft that we had would cover the defrauding an innkeeper and that sort of thing, but it went beyond that. There's no question about that.
Well, see, what other thing is there, like larceny of or defrauding an innkeeper?
Well, we have statutes now, for example, fraudulently obtaining a taxi cab ride.
Right. Special condition exists there.
Yeah, I suppose that when you get some of these things, you, the restaurant can't ask you to pay for the meal before you sit down.
And the cab driver can't get it back.
Yeah, and the cab driver can't get his ride back.
Yeah.
And then some of these codes deal with the stealing of electricity and water and this type of thing that. They look upon that as the theft of the service rather than the commodity itself.
And the guys that wire around the meter.
Yeah.
That isn't so common anymore as it was during the Great Depression. That was.
I had a case out of Cottage Grove, though. We prosecuted under this statute dealing with water rights, where the guy was. Put his own pipeline into the Cottage Grove mains and was getting, for several months, it was getting water free of charge. And the city come out and turn it off, and he'd go out and hook it back up.
You have water.
What do you expect him to do?
So finally, the city attorney didn't know what to do with it and asked us if we would prosecute it as a state crime. We did. Took care of it. We got a conviction.
What did you turn to? Was it larceny of water?
Oh, I forget the statute now, but it's not called larceny of water, but...
Well, would that be covered under...
It's interference with water rights.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
164, it's 6 months and $500 maximum.
Well, that's an Eastern Oregon.
Now, there's a good example. If you interfere with water rights, it's 6 months, but if you interfere with gas or electric appliance, you can get 2 years.
What, it's 161?
Oops.
That just proves that the PPNL has got more muscle than the Central Oregon.
164.610.
Yeah, that's true. Well, now, wouldn't that be covered by our general theft definition? A person commits theft when, with intent to deprive another of property or to appropriate property to himself, he wrongfully takes, appropriates, obtains, or withhold such property from an owner thereof.
Yeah, assuming that our definition of property is broad enough to encompass
substance
well,
or thing
right
of value.
Yeah, it's a right, it's something of value.
Substance, already.
We've deliberately omitted service, however, in this, and of course we say no more about it, but this is our intent to eliminate service, so we can take care of it, I think.
Do I understand we intend to eliminate it or just to
well,
it?
let's just...
My understanding was we were going to defer any action on it until we got to another section and take another look at it. That's what I...
Another section will come up before the subcommittee.
Yes.
So we don't have the basic problem of saying, well, Mahoney and you other fellows, you talk about this when your turn comes.
Oh, no, it would be handled by this subcommittee.
Well, as long as we know why we did this, why then I don't see that problem.
All right. Here it is on page 8 of the minutes. I agreed and suggested conduct be covered in the section on fraud and forgery because it was concerned with fraudulent conduct rather more so than a larceny taking. I'm not sure I was right. Don recommended that larceny services be covered somewhere in the code, though not necessarily in larceny sections. We agreed then to delete section 9 and reserve consideration of it until the fraud sections were drafted. And I think that's appropriate. If we can't fit it in the fraud sections, we can come back here. It's the only hole that there is in our draft 3 here as far as present law is concerned, right?
Well, that I'm aware of, yes.
Okay.
This is all proper draft 3. So.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
So, with that understanding, Don, let's go to motor vehicles. Kathleen's a little bit smarter than she was at the last meeting. She starved herself to 4 the last one she left was at 2. She had another meeting, though, ahead.
Now, just before I get into my comments on the proposed revision, I pointed out in my background here that although I think our present taking and using statute is broad enough that it could be interpreted to include other types of property other than motor vehicles, motor-driven vehicles, I think that the intent there, and that was borne out in a fairly recent case, State versus Isle, in 1963, the court held that this is our joyriding statute. The court said it is designed to condemn the acts of a person who takes another's automobile without permission, but without the intent to steal it or permanently deprive the owner of its use. Therefore, I have limited this draft to cover motor-driven vehicles because I think that's the type of property that we're trying to protect, and it's the type of property that's going to cause the most problem. I don't think taking and using of a sailboat, for example, is enough of a social problem to warrant a special section. But I think taking and using of a motor vehicle, which as my section here defines, encompasses automobile, airplane, motorcycle, motorboat, or other motor-propelled vehicle. So I wanted to point out that first of all.
Good. Farm tractor?
Yeah, it would if it was motor-propelled.
Or scooter.
One of our other sections, of course, would cover surreys. This one wouldn't now.
Now, wait a minute, you mean our present statute?
Yeah, ORS 482030, every device in, so forth and so on, which property, personal property is or may be transported or drawn, except devices moved by human power, or used exclusively on station rails and tracks. In other words, a horse-drawn vehicle would come under the present statute, but you know it wouldn't.
Well, that's true, it wouldn't. And, now, subsection 1A of the draft is from the New York Code and from the Model Penal Code. And the types of vehicles covered there are set forth as they are in the Model Penal Code, making it clearer than, I think, than does our present statute, just what kinds of vehicles we're talking about. However, the draft does go beyond our present law, which really prohibits the operation of the vehicles. I mean, it goes beyond the Model Penal Code and prohibits other unauthorized conduct, which is presently covered under some of our other statutes, such as starting, manipulating, or tampering with a motor vehicle.
It doesn't include that.
Yeah, my draft would. My draft
tampering would.
My draft would, because under 1A, I've got, he takes, operates, exercises control over, rides in, or otherwise uses another's.
Well, this tampering with thing includes fines on one another. Fines upon or into such motor vehicle, whether it is at rest or in motion.
We had a case of...
Wouldn't that be otherwise using it?
What?
Wouldn't that be otherwise using it?
Planning on it, maybe, I suppose. We've got a case now where that's quite material.
We had a LeGrand case not too long ago where a glider was stolen from a local airport. And actually put in the air by a joyrider who got it a couple hundred feet off the ground, wasn't able to hack it, and crack it up. About $3,000 worth of damage. He had no assets. Being prosecuted. I'll never be prosecuted under this.
For taking and using?
Mm-hmm. Not motor vehicle.
That's right.
Also, that 650, the existing 650, excludes officers.
Yes, it does.
Commandeering the vehicle.
That climbing in and... Well, I don't know. Now, you see, this is a policy decision for this committee to make. If you think it's enough of a problem to make taking and using of these other types of property that are not motor driven, certainly that's easily remedied in the statute.
It would seem to me that it would be simple to do by just striking the word motor. A vehicle then would become a
Rover's case.
Anything that's not propelled by human power.
Well, why couldn't you just say, like we do in 670 now, which appears right there on the first page of this section, every person who uses any vehicle, watercraft, or aircraft.
Mm-hmm. We're not. If you do steal the sailboat or the rowboat, why, you just as you're joyriding them, why, you got the guy who loses the sailboat.
Yeah. If he loses the sailboat,
money.
It's theft.
Yeah.
But
the owner who. Owner whose sailboat is taken is out just as much of a sailboat as he is if it's a motorboat. That hurts as badly.
Well, yeah, if I can lose a rowboat, it could be quite a loss to him, actually.
Well, watercraft, is it? Got it in there?
The thing is that, you see, vehicle under 164.670 isn't defined.
Yeah, and it can be a wheelbarrow.
No, it's defined in the next page.
But vehicle is generally defined in the motor vehicle section.
Yeah, 384.
480.
030. 482, 030. Vehicle is defined as every device in, upon, or which, or by which any person or property is or may be transported or drawn upon a public highway, except devices moved by human power. Well, a public highway would, you'd have to add that. Any contrivance used or designed for navigation of or flight in the air, and every description of watercraft used or capable of being used as a means of transportation on the water.
Well, now wait a minute. No, you wouldn't, because read right down there in the next 492.010 defines aircraft.
That's what I say. You'd have to add. But we're going to eliminate all these old statutes, so we'd have to add definitions of vehicle.
Well, we're not going to eliminate these because these statutes have specific reference to the motor vehicle section that. Which isn't within our purview to revise.
Well, all they do, though, they just the only reference they have to the motor vehicle section is to
define it for taxation.
Just look to them for a definition of what vehicle means or what motor vehicle means.
Well, Bob, you're thinking about aircraft and watercraft, aren't you?
Yeah.
Why don't we say vehicle, watercraft, and aircraft? Instead of automobile, airplane, motorcycle, motorboat.
Yeah, and in section A of this, all we have to do is to get strike motor propelled. Striking the title to unauthorized use of a vehicle. You strike motor.
Well, you're going to, it seems to me, you're going to get into some pretty screwy type cases, such as bicycles and that type of thing. Are you going to want to make taking and using of a bicycle? It would be a vehicle.
But we're not in it. But that's the way, that's the present state of the law, and we're not in it now, are we?
No problem now.
The present state of the law is every person who takes or uses without authority any vehicle. And
except devices moved by human power.
Right. Well, that was my point.
Only bicycle is moved by human power.
So you eliminate bicycle.
Well, you're assuming that we're going to be...
That we would eliminate things by human power, and otherwise we'd go to watercraft, aircraft, and vehicles.
Well, are you assuming, though, that we're going to be repealing for these definitional sections like 482.030?
Well, I don't know enough about this, but 482.030 and so forth are what we call generally the motor vehicle code, aren't
they? That's right. Yeah.
And this is a criminal code, and,
right.
And
so
we're not going to refer back and forth across.
In fact, we could repeal 164, 650, and 660, both of which refer to the motor vehicle provisions without having any effect upon the motor vehicle code.
And I suppose they could change their definition of a motor vehicle without changing the criminal code, could they?
Mm-hmm. Well,
my thought was that in light of what the Supreme Court had said about this statute, or taking using statute, that although it says vehicle, that the Supreme Court has interpreted it as meaning motor vehicles. And that if
that doesn't mean if we that's define it as something else, that then the next case
that. Yeah. But it seems to me that even though you don't have an intent to steal, the legislatures have looked upon the unauthorized use of a motor vehicle for a number of reasons as being sufficiently serious to merit special attention. Yeah. And that is because of it's highly mobile and they can take it, and mm-hmm. even though they don't intend to steal it, they can go great distances in a short time and cause a lot of financial injury, and plus the possibility of injury to innocent persons, life and limb, through the use of a motor vehicle.
How do we reach the situation of the glider?
Just change airplane to aircraft. Strike motor propelled. A glider is an aircraft.
Well,
so is a free balloon. And there are a surprising number of them in Oregon.
Yeah, but if you strike motor propelled and leave vehicle in, then you're then
add after vehicle, which is not propelled by human power.
I think that takes care of it, yeah.
And change motorboat to watercraft.
But you're saying takes operates exercise rides in by just another automobile, aircraft.
Motorcycle, watercraft.
Watercraft or other
vehicle which is not propelled by human power.
This will protect my buckboard up in Condon.
Yeah, or your Surrey. Harder to come by than a buckboard. Without consent of the owner, or having next just then thereafter. Motor.
Entering the statute.
Or having custody of a vehicle pursuant to an agreement between himself or another and the owner thereof, or by he or another. Well, now wait a minute. Does vehicle include aircraft, watercraft.
Well, it does in another, in the motor vehicle code.
Yeah, but,
492.010 defines aircraft as any contrivance used or designed for navigation of or flight in the air.
The statutes contain no definition of the term watercraft. They all employ the term boat. But the boat means you can change watercraft to boat.
Having custody of any contrivance described. Section 1A. Well, I'm not sure in my own mind that where in 1A we say automobile, aircraft, motorcycle, watercraft, or other vehicle which is propelled by human power.
Which is not propelled
by human power. And then in B, where we just say vehicle. If we're making it sufficiently clear that vehicle means every one of the other enumerated things.
Well, in that case, we'd need a single definition.
Let's see. Of course,
I agree with Don. It's not a great social problem. It's not going to occur with a great deal of regularity. I don't expect to see cops and gliders chasing students and gliders flying off the Aurora airstrip with any great regularity. But it does happen. There are such things as free balloons used with more regularity in Oregon than people realize, I think.
And increasingly so, isn't this a fact?
Well, my only question was, granting that it does occur, is it, since there is no intent to permanently deprive the owner, is it sufficiently serious in nature to make it a crime? Because it's a vehicle as opposed to some other kind of crime.
Yeah, we need it with automobiles for a reason that's somewhat different than a glider, because of the numerous automobiles that are in everybody's garage, and kids get them, and they are an encouragement to juvenile delinquency and everything else when they indiscriminately use them and create a hazard on the streets and all of those things which are not included in a glider. However, the one thing that's in common is the owners being deprived of the use of it for a while.
There were a couple of kids in Ontario 2 or 3 years ago who took an airplane off. And boy, if they didn't endanger everybody within 50 miles, you know, they were 13, 14-year-old kids, and it took them 2 or 3 hours to talk them down, you know, to find a way to tell them how to land the thing. And you're fiddling around with it, and you started the engine, and then off they went. Now, the best place to have been when they were doing it was in Bend, you know, because they were a danger to every human being on the ground underneath them. They didn't have any idea. I guess it was the greatest show on earth. They're out there for a couple hours.
Well, they'd be covered by it as we have in draft.
Yeah.
Because there's
an
motor. It's
a motor. Yeah.
It's an airplane. I tend to agree that with respect to the horse-drawn vehicle, there's no compelling social reason for including that in here. I'm trying to think, you get down to the beach or something and you're there for one of your lakes and you have a sailboat and suddenly it turns up missing, and 10 days later, when you're ready to go home, you find out that 2 kids at the other end of the lake have had it for the last 10 days and have been just having a hell of a time with it. Well, that's surely taking and using. Whether they should be prosecuted is something else. Doesn't seem to me that there's a great social, compelling social reason to prosecute those people, although they could be under the present state of Oregon law, under the present taking and using statute, because it says watergraph simply.
Or they could, under a theft graph, they could.
Well, why don't
they could be prosecuted for theft? Because they disposed of it in a manner that was likely to deprive you of its use.
Isn't it covered in here?
Where?
Well, what we just passed. What we just.
No. No.
Isn't it?
Because it wouldn't be. Because if the state couldn't show intent to defraud. But look, why can't we do it this way? Why can't we just say in 1A, another's automobile, aircraft, motorcycle, watercraft, or other motor-propelled vehicle. And then say, having custody of a motor vehicle, just as you say.
It's no problem to include it in. Do you see any graphic?
Just say aircraft and watercraft. That would cover the sailboat or the glider.
Right.
Other motor-propelled then would refer back to aircraft and watercraft, wouldn't it? Have to be an aircraft, a motor-propelled aircraft or watercraft. In which case, you might as well say airplane or motorcycle.
Well, aircraft, motorcycle, watercraft, or any motor-propelled vehicle. I don't know. That's right. It does refer back.
I just don't want to have the whole Elk Lake Yacht Club show up at the hearing. Say we're leaving it defenseless against the joyrider.
Well, I think that would be a problem, say, in Fern Ridge Lake, too, or a number of places where they have large numbers of these things, and they have some right to security of these items.
They're all owned by doctors, and they know their rights.
Yeah, well, not necessarily,
But those people can be prosecuted under other statutes.
Can they?
Well,
after we finish, can they?
What?
Well, any number of misdemeanor statutes, probably.
Not when we get finished.
Well, maybe not when we get finished, but at the present time.
At present, yeah, okay. Oh, well, we're going to eliminate a lot of things here, okay. Then you eliminate them, and then what do? And when you open the door on something, then of course you increase another crime.
But my objection to it is that we're making it, we're making borrowing a crime. And I don't think you should make borrowing a crime unless there's a compelling reason to do so. I think in the case of a motor vehicle, there are enough compelling reasons to make this borrowing criminal. But
borrow a sailboat and drown the neighbor's baby that they're babysitting with by getting it tipped over in the middle of the lake. Well, that's just as bad as running the neighbor's baby with a car.
You could take my gun with the full intent of returning it to me after you shoot somebody with it too.
I think one reason for the original enactment of the joyride statute was the difficulty prosecutors were having in proving intent to permanently deprive the owner of it, and they enacted this in order to get something that could win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the present language of the language of the present joyriding statute is pretty comprehensive, and it's not very objectionable. It seems to me that it covers the waterfront.
Yeah, do we need to change it?
That's the question. Now, there's no doubt that in this proposed revision we have changed it. We've limited it. We've taken some of the things that Bob has suggested out from under its scope, and we are going to bring certain segments of the people down on us, and not without justification. I think they'd be justifying coming down on us.
So is your suggestion that we use the words vehicle, watercraft, or aircraft?
That's right.
So, what do we need to change what we have?
Well, that's what we do have, vehicle, watercraft, or aircraft.
I see.
Yeah. No, I think that takes, operates, exercise control of, rides in, or otherwise used, you broadened it, and I think that what you're envisioning there is to eliminate some of these other statutes that tampering and whatever, and I think probably that's good. But
and I think, you know, if you've got two kids and they both they're out, and one of them just riding along, you might have a tough time proving that he's participated in taking this thing, but you wouldn't have any difficulty proving that he made an unauthorized use of this vehicle.
Entering a motor vehicle, what happened to that statute?
That's going to be,
well,
we're going to cover that.
Yeah. Entering it would be exercising control over it.
Well, then I move. Then I suggest another.
Hey, where's
kind of
entering?
Groggy, so.
Yeah, we're.
Where is the word entering?
Entering isn't in there.
Entering isn't in there.
Can I get to another statute?
That's where we're going to fill in this blank then.
No, I exercises control over. I thought was broad enough to.
I would think so.
Cover entering.
Right then.
Or, if
or otherwise used.
You start it up or you tamper with it in any way, it should be covered by one of these. At least that was my thought. If you operated control over it or exercised control over it or used it in any way.
Leave out the cop's right to monkey with it.
Yeah, because we ought to prosecute you then once in a while, keep them on the right end.
Yeah.
All right. How about, say, another's vehicle, watercraft, or aircraft without intent?
That seems to me to be reasonable to use those words.
And then in B also, say, having custody of a vehicle, watercraft, or aircraft.
Well, how about, would you mind using boat rather than watercraft? Because as I pointed out in my background
yeah.
here, we've got a definition, the regulatory statutes all talk about boats, and no place in the statutes or is there any definition of watercraft. And but we do have a definition of boat, and that means every description of watercraft, you see. So
yeah.
It's circuitous, but and Webster's dictionary says watercraft means a ship or boat. So if we just called it boat, we would be within our statutory framework now.
Yeah.
And we would encompass watercraft within the definition of boat.
Vehicle, boat, or aircraft. You're getting tired, Yoder.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We're just about finished.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that my sit
we're
down.
We're slowing down, too.
My sit down has been subjected to some cruel and unusual punishment already today, and I've got to drive back to Ben.
Why isn't your aircraft?
Well, the weather was not supposed to be very good this afternoon. I don't know. I get outside, whether it was or not.
It was raining when I went out.
It was supposed to be soggy by this afternoon.
It was going pretty hard in high elevation down there.
Yeah, it was snowing this morning.
At Bend?
No, from Subtle Lake over to Marion Forks.
Any precipitation in Bend?
No, we never have any over there. Darn it, we haven't had any for a year.
Okay. And then having custody of a vehicle, boat, or aircraft pursuant to an agreement between himself or another and the owner thereof whereby he, et cetera, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Of such repair or use of such vehicle, boat, or aircraft.
What can you say of such article?
Such.
Or property.
Do either of those really fit?
Well, it's safer to do it like you did.
I saved you numbers of words.
Yeah.
Or, and then in C, having custody of a vehicle, boat, or aircraft.
Well, then what was this one I hear?
Repair use of such vehicle, boat, or aircraft.
Oh, I see.
And then in the title, you'd have to strike water. Unauthorized use of a vehicle.
Boat, or.
Now, B and C both are intended to cover a gray area that might possibly be covered now under our theft draft, but you might get into a situation where there's an unauthorized use, but maybe not for so long a period or under such circumstances that the owner would be deprived of its economic benefit to such an extent that it'd be theft. I mean, this was...
C is for the huge eye of people, isn't it?
Yeah, or it could cover just a plain old borrowing of a car from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's larceny by Bailey.
Yeah, and that's a heck of a problem right now. Does this improve any on that?
I'm inclined to think that it does.
Well, it does to this extent that you eliminate the necessity of having to prove an intent to permanently deprive.
Yeah.
Then three, you strike motor and new vehicle motor aircraft.
Right. But what about this affirmative defense deficiency too?
I think that's good. Because if I understand the previous discussion about affirmative defense.
Well, we struck the word affirmative.
Do I understand affirmative defense to mean that the fellow comes in at the beginning of the trial and says, here's my defense?
There are some other specified time. There's an argument that might be what it means. I would say, but I don't say for sure.
But
well, I think in this one, I'm going to cover up some gray areas here. I think this is one place where it's justified.
Where we should use affirmative rather than just defense?
I really do.
Are we
going to... Where did this come from, this two?
Yeah. The model penal code.
Are we in general? Yeah, they use it pretty well throughout, affirmative defense.
Oh, not the language affirmative. Yeah, affirmative defense is your language.
I meant the whole...
Yeah, the whole two came out of the model penal code. And this was... to get at informal borrowing between friends and the family and that type of thing, where
somebody should have later got sore.
And, well, know, what about I go down to Los Angeles and rent a car and tell them I'm bringing back tomorrow. You write that down in 24 hours. And I don't bring it back tomorrow, but I know darn well if I'd have said it a week and I'm going to keep it for a week, they would have loaned it to me for a week.
You reasonably believe that they would have consented, sure. I think they would fall into that.
And they would have.
Los Angeles is out of state, so you don't have to worry about that.
They would have rented it to me for a year if they thought I could pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, I had a case where a guy rented a car here in town, and he was going to have it back in a week. And as it developed, he didn't bring it back in a week, and 4 weeks later, he is arrested down at Astoria driving it. And he says, well, I told the rental guy that I might get it back in a week, but I might keep it longer. And that was all there was to it. Now, the judge didn't let that case go to the jury. It was a phony story in this particular instance. But I just don't know. I think probably one of the things where the biggest hole has been in the area of this of bailments and rental cars. And I'm wondering if two doesn't complicate this.
It seems to me that it does.
Well,
yeah, it's pretty loose in.
Knowingly retains or withholds possession without consent of the owner.
I think it just ends with tightening, but I can't think what it is right now. So. I think that could stand a little tightening, all right.
I think you're rendered ineffective.
Well, don't you think, though, that this type of defense that you're talking about, John, is